So I'm joined with Ian Bembo, who scored the winning goal in the 1990 Welsh Cup final. So Ian, that was my first season of watching Hereford. What was it like working under the manager, Ian Bowyer?
Ian Bowyer, what a challenging man. Unpredictable, I think, is the term. I think he knew what he wanted. Cluffy had sort of definitely put some markers through his ways of working, but sometimes you sort of didn't really know what was coming next. But I really enjoyed what I was doing.
The Welsh Cup campaign started with a 9-0 win over Coniskey. Were games like that good for your confidence in the early rounds?
It was for me, because I said I was sort of early as part of that was early part of my career as such, coming through. So you see, Coniskey for me was a big game, but for the senior pros, it wasn't so big. So it helped me come through the team, really, I think. And so playing at that level, winning 9-0. Just builds the confidence moving forward.
So there we go on and beat Kidderminster, Bangor and Cardiff. We face Wrexham in the final. What are your memories of the morning of the game?
Oh, the morning. I keep going back. The morning is near on impossible to recall, because I keep going back to the goal when the goal went in, and I'm so disappointed, because I keep looking back at it when people highlight it, and all I focus back on is how poor a shot it was. Everybody who wants to score a goal, you know, in a cup final, wants it to go into the top corner, everything else. Mine bounced about four times, I think, if I remember rightly. So everything else has just gone, because I just focus on the disappointment of it not being a wonder goal as such.
Do you remember the goal? Can you still see it? The knockdown Russell Bradley?
I can see it across. I think it was from Paul Tester. Russell Bradley knocked it down, and I think when I caught it, when I look at it, I think, oh, the shape looks good. Now the ball bounce into the back of the net. I said, doesn't do good for confidence.
What were the celebrations like, though, that night?
Celebrations. Yeah, I think when I've reflected back on the video that was there, I said after the goal and the celebrations, I looked absolutely shattered. But it was the best time of my life. I said, I went back home to Leinster, to all the people that I grew up with. And it was just fun. I just enjoyed it. Went back to the pub. Everybody that I knew were in the pub, and it was just amazing. You know, it wasn't just about what it meant for Hereford. It meant all the people around, like Leinster and things like that. And it did provide some good community spirit.
So a few weeks later, Ian Bowyer left Hereford. How did you feel about his departure?
That was disappointing, because I said I'd managed to develop a good relationship with Ian and. You know, again, what I said is he was unpredictable, but he was also, I found him honest and sort of a driver. And I think I was learning a lot from Ian being involved. Just as disappointing he left, and in the manner it was, you know, Gary, his son, has gone on to do great things, you know, and I think Ian at the time, if I remember rightly, an average age must have been about 19, 20 as part of a squad. Which, if it was kept together, would have potentially gone on and on to do good things.
So Colin Addison takes over. You end up going to Telford, who are in the Vauxhall Conference. What were the reasons behind you leaving?
I think as I've got older, I've got a little bit more diplomatic in life. It's just managers have different ways of working. Like I said, I think Colin has his ways of working. His views, I think, were more about experience, and as you look at the squad within 12 months, 2 years of Ian Bowyer going and Colin coming in, I think that the squad had gone from an average age of 20 to 29, 30. And it works. And like I said, everybody had different ways. So I said, pragmatically in life, you turn around and say, well, Colin chose the team he wanted, and I wasn't part of that at that time.
So in November 91, Telford beat Stoke 2-1 in the FA Cup. You scored both goals. That was a good night's work.
It was a good night's work, and I think that was a real good team effort. I think that was off the back of a draw as well, that we'd gone and that we had brought them back. And it was a good game, and I enjoyed it. It's just those things. Sometimes, like I said, while I enjoyed what I'd done with Telford, it's those elements I wish I'd have shared back home in Hereford and other people had done, because it was enjoyable. But like you said, it was away from home, and that's what I found a bit hard. It's nice to beat Stoke, especially I tell my children now, and they don't believe that I ever played football. So
So you left Halford, you end up with Merthyr, Newport, Yeovil, and a few other clubs. Was it a case of injury, or did you have a day job to focus on while your career ended?
No, I think I came to a conclusion in life that I wasn't going to become this high-level professional football player that's going to make loads of money. And I used to see players coming through the system. I was coming into Hereford, and you had the people like there was Gary, there was Mel Pedgick, and all those sort of players that were coming through, coming towards the end of their footballing careers, and then they were having to start thinking about what does the future hold for me. And it was just one of those things. I was young enough to think I need something else. And that was the real driver for me, is that I needed to find something that was stable, and I had passion. I think while I was at Hereford, we went out to some of the schools, and I enjoyed going to the schools and working with the youngsters in the schools, to a point where that's where I ended up. When I come out of football, I focus on developing a career in that way, and that's where I've gone.
And about eight months ago, you had a life changing experience as well. Can you talk us through what happened there?
Yeah, it's about 2 years ago. I went to a hospital. I had a pain in my foot, and I thought it was gout. And then I went to the A&E, and they said yeah sit down, and they said we'll check you over while you're here, and so they put all the wires on me, and said oh, are you all right? You're feeling great. And they thought I was having a heart attack, and it wasn't a heart attack. It was just I was diagnosed then straight after with a condition called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which, in layman's terms, was the sudden death syndrome, or people recognise as well, linked to the Moamba case that when he collapsed on the pitch. So from there, I got referred on to a cardiologist who. Over the 12-month period, put a defibrillator implanted in my chest, and then it was literally eight months or so after having that in, I collapsed at work and died, and the defibrillator kicked in and brought me straight back within 3 seconds. It was life changing. It was life changing, and I mean that in such ways, because you start to appreciate life. To a point where you don't worry about much in life, just enjoy what you've got.
So this was a hereditary condition as well?
It was a hereditary condition. Like I said, it was only now, like I said, that I've lived, up to 46, all the way through the training and pre-season and everything else that I've done as a pro football player, some good and some bad. But like I said, not realising that I was walking that tightrope while I was playing, which... Some ways it was nice not to know, but now it's nice to know, because I said what's happening is that my children are being screened, so hopefully I can sort of put something in place that it might not happen to them.
So in 2015, what's Ian Bembo up to now?
Oh, I'm my role now on my job is head of adult and family social regeneration in Merthyr Council. It's a challenge in times, because it looks at all the issues of economic and social regeneration. Also focuses on supporting vulnerable adults and vulnerable children out in the community. So I've got a ream of services, all of which we're trying to knit together to make sure that the people in Merthyr can improve the life that they have. I think Channel 4 have a great programme at the moment that talks about Merthyr, but it's just a shame, because as I said, my job is trying to support some of those youngsters that are coming through, and it's just a shame that there's a highlight on the one and few. There's probably, for every one person that they're identifying within the programme, there's probably 300-400 people that have turned their lives around and move on in a positive way.